Welcome to the Wednesday evening sermon from Redeemed in Faith Reformed Church. Each week in this midweek broadcast, we share a focused message from God's Word to encourage your faith, strengthen your walk with Christ, and help you grow in the knowledge of the truth. Whether you're joining us from near or far, we're glad you're here. Let's open the scriptures together.
Good evening. Welcome and thank you for joining us on this Wednesday evening service, this 12th day of August, 2025. I'm Reverend Paul from Redeemed in Faith Reformed Church, and our theme this evening is The God Who Speaks. We're going to be taking a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, which reads, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Beloved, we live in an age of constant voices. Social media, podcasts, news outlets, our friends and family, and even our own inner dialogue. Everyone is speaking, and everyone expects to be heard. But in the midst of all this noise, there's only one voice that matters eternally, and that's the voice of the living God. You see, the Bible is not simply an ancient religious book or a collection of human thoughts about God. It is God's word. It is his speech given to humanity. And through it, God reveals who he is, what he's done, and how we are to live before him. The Bible is our ultimate and final authority in all matters of both faith and life, because it's the very breath of God. It is perfect in truth and sufficient for every need of the soul. Without it, we're left to the shifting sands of human opinion, to the dim light of our own reasoning. As Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." You see, Scripture alone reveals that the way of salvation through Christ, it instructs us in righteousness and equips us for every good work. Reading Scripture is not merely a religious habit, but it's a lifeline, the daily nourishment that our souls require to grow in grace, to stand firm against temptation, and to walk faithfully with the Lord. To neglect Scripture is to neglect the voice of God himself, but to delight in Scripture is to walk in his wisdom and live under the blessing of his truth. Imagine moving to a new city you've never been to before. It's full of unfamiliar streets, countless intersections, and neighborhoods that you don't yet understand. Now, you have a GPS, but it only works half the time. Sometimes it gives you the right directions, but other times it cuts out completely. It lags behind or sends you down the wrong road. Before long, you're driving around in circles. You're missing important turns, and you're wasting precious time trying to reach your destination. Worse yet, you occasionally find yourself in unsafe areas, not because you wanted to be there, but because you lacked the reliable guidance to keep you on the right path. That is exactly what life is like without the clear, constant guidance of God's Word. We might have good intentions and a desire to move forward, but without His truth to direct our steps, we're bound to drift off course, to make costly wrong turns, and even place ourselves in spiritual danger. Proverbs 14, verse 12 warns, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. Only the unfailing map of Scripture can keep us on the narrow road that leads to life. So let's delve into the Scripture and seek His truth. Turning back to this week's Scripture reading, in verse 16, we are provided with the divine origin of Scripture. We read that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. If we look at the original Greek, the word used here is theopousnos, which translates to breathed out by God, or literally God-breathed. It is a word so unique that it is only found here in the New Testament. This is significant because Paul is not saying that Scripture was simply inspired in the modern sense, the way in which a poet may be inspired by a sunset or an artist inspired to paint. Rather, he's affirming something far greater, that the very words of Scripture originate from God Himself. They're not the product of human imagination or philosophical reflection, but the product of His breath, His will, and His truth. Notice also that this is not describing God breathing into something that already existed, as though He took ordinary human words and upgraded them to Scripture. Rather, the picture here is as of God breathing out His words in the first place. The origin is divine, the delivery is divine, and therefore the authority is divine. This process did involve human authors, but they were not free to write whatever they pleased. They were instruments in the hands of a master, guided and carried along by the Holy Spirit to ensure that they wrote exactly what God intended. Peter captures this perfectly in 2 Peter 1, verse 21, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." The word "moved" here is the same word used in Acts 27, verse 15 to describe a ship being carried along by the wind. The sailors could steer, but the ultimate direction and power came from the wind itself. In the same way, the biblical authors were active participants. However, the Spirit was the wind in their sails, ensuring the course was set by God alone. This truth is critical for understanding the Bible we hold in our hands. It means the Scriptures are not merely a record of man's search for God. They are the record of God's revelation to man. They do not merely contain God's word in some places and man's word in another. They are entirely God's word from start to finish. As the psalmist declares in Psalm 12, verse 6, "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Because of this, the Scripture carries the full weight and authority of the Creator of heaven and earth. Their authority does not rest on whether scholars approve of them, or whether they resonate with popular opinion, or whether culture finds them acceptable. Their authority rests on the testimony of God Himself, who cannot lie, and whose word is truth. And here's the unavoidable implication. If God has spoken, our first duty is to listen and obey. To treat the Bible casually is to treat God casually. To neglect the Bible is to neglect the very voice of God. Charles Spurgeon once said, "When you open the Bible, God opens His mouth. And when you close the Bible, you close the mouth of God." This is why our approach to Scripture must be one of reverence, humility, and readiness to submit. We're not here to judge the Word, Rather, the Word is here to judge us, and we're not here to stand over it as critics, but rather we're here to sit under it as disciples. Moving forward in verse 16, Paul outlines the purpose of Scripture. He tells us that it is profitable for doctrine, meaning that the Word of God teaches us what is true about God, about ourselves, and about the world around us. Doctrine is not some dry academic theory that only theologians care about. It is the framework of truth that shapes how we think and how we worship and how we live. Without sound doctrine, we are left to guess at who God is, what he requires, and how he works. And those guesses will always be shaped by our sin, by our culture, and by our emotions. That is why Titus 1 verse 9 commands elders to hold fast the faithful word, that they may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. You see, truth both protects the church from error and builds her up in faith. Scripture gives us a clear, unchanging standard in a world of constantly shifting opinions. It tells us the truth about God's holiness, the truth about humanity's sin, and the way of salvation through Christ alone, and the hope of eternal life. Every major belief we hold as Christians must be anchored in the teaching of God's Word. Without that anchor, we drift into error. We are swayed by false teachings, and we build our faith on unstable ground. But God's Word is a trustworthy foundation, and apart from it, there can be no true knowledge of God. Paul continues that Scripture is profitable for reproof. Reproof is a word not often heard today, but it means showing where we have gone wrong. It is confronting sin, exposing error, and unmasking deception in the light of God's truth. Look at James 1, verses 23 and 24, which describes Scripture as a mirror. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. You see, the Bible shows us what is actually there, not what we wish was there. It exposes the lies that we've believed, the wrong paths that we've chosen, and the sins that we've excused. Reproof can be uncomfortable. Just as a doctor's diagnosis may hurt to hear, but without it, there can be no healing. Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13 tells us that the Word of God is living and powerful, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. You see, God's Word lovingly but firmly reveals the spiritual diseases in our hearts. And without reproof, we remain blind to our faults. But with it, we're given the gracious opportunity to repent and return to God. Paul then moves to correction, which is different from reproof. While reproof points out the wrong, correction guides us back to the right. It is the act of straightening that what is bent, restoring what is broken, and reorienting our steps towards God's way. If reproof is the diagnosis, then correction is the treatment plan. Psalm 119, verse 105 captures this beautifully. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word doesn't just tell us where we've gone astray. It shines the way back home. Correction is restorative. It rebuilds our walk with God after it's been disrupted. Finally, in verse 16, Paul says that Scripture is profitable for instruction in righteousness. This speaks of ongoing spiritual training, cultivating habits, attitudes, and actions that reflect God's character. This is about more than avoiding sin. It's about actively pursuing holiness, integrity, and love. Instruction in righteousness is lifelong. No Christian ever graduates from the school of holiness. God's word is our training manual, shaping us day by day into the likeness of Christ. Just as an athlete trains continuously to maintain peak performance, the believer must continuously feed on Scripture to stay spiritually strong, discerning, and prepared for every good work. Hebrews 5 verse 14 says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." If we neglect the training of the Word, we become spiritually weak and easily deceived. But if we submit to its instruction, we grow into mature, steadfast followers of Christ, equipped to glorify God in every area of life. Moving forward to verse 17 of this week's scripture, we see the power of Scripture to equip. As Paul writes, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The ultimate aim of Scripture is not merely to fill our heads with information, but it's to form our hearts and lives for service. When Paul says complete, he is speaking of spiritual maturity, of becoming a believer who is fully developed, who is spiritually healthy and balanced in both character and conduct. This completeness is not something we can achieve on our own. It is the product of a steady, lifelong submission to God's Word. Colossians 1 verse 28 echoes this goal when Paul says that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. God's Word is the tool by which He shapes us into people who lack nothing necessary to live faithfully before Him. The phrase "thoroughly equipped" paints the picture of a soldier fully armed for battle, or perhaps a craftsman ready for his work with every tool in hand. Scripture gives us the spiritual armor to stand firm in trials, the discernment to recognize truth from error, and the wisdom to carry out God's will in both the ordinary routines of life and the extraordinary challenges we face. There is no good work for which the Word of God leaves us unprepared. Without it, we are like soldiers marching into war without armor, vulnerable, ineffective, and easily overcome. But with Scripture, we have everything we need to live a life that glorifies God in every season, every circumstance, and in every calling. This is why we must commit to daily Scripture intake, not just for knowledge, but for transformation. It is entirely possible to read the Bible faithfully, yet miss its purpose if we approach it merely as a source of facts or as part of a religious checklist. God's Word is not meant to be stored in the mind as trivia. It is meant to sink deep into the heart, reshaping how we think, how we speak, and how we live. James 1 verse 22 warns us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Because information without transformation breeds pride, but truth applied produces holiness. Daily time in Scripture is like daily nourishment for the soul. just as we do not eat merely to remember what food tastes like, but to gain strength to live, so we should read the word not simply to recall what it says, but to be renewed, guided, and conformed to the image of Christ. This requires reading with humility, asking God to open our eyes, to convict our hearts, and to change our lives. The ultimate goal is not simply to know about God, but to know God, to walk with Him more closely, to love Him more deeply, and to reflect Him more clearly in every aspect of our lives. And when that happens, we will find that Scripture has not only informed us, but has equipped us, making us ready for every good work God has prepared for us to do. As you continue your week, I urge you to reflect on this Scripture and honestly ask yourself, am I reading the Bible out of mere religious habit? Or am I approaching it as the living Word of God, my guide, my sustenance, my instruction for righteous living? The Scriptures are not given to be admired from a distance or left to gather dust. They're meant to be opened, read, believed, and obeyed. Remember, Psalm 119, verse 130 teaches us, the entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. God's word does not return void. It accomplishes what God pleases and prospers in the thing for which He sent it. When you come to the Bible, you are coming to a living word that discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart, and the sanctifying word that makes the church holy. So how should we come to it? Come humbly, praying, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Come meditatively, not rushing past the text, but letting it dwell in you richly. Come obediently, because blessing is promised not to hearers only, but to doers of the word. And come expectantly, believing that the same breath of God that produced Scripture will, by the Spirit, breathe new life and strength into your soul. If your Bible has been sitting untouched on a shelf, or resting quietly on your bedside table, I urge you, pick it up. Open its pages. Linger over its truths. Let the words of the living God speak into your heart, confront your sin, strengthen your faith, and shape your life. Remember, Luke 4, verse 4 tells us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. This is no ordinary book. It is the voice of God Himself, breathed out for your good, to make you complete and equipped for every good work. If you will immerse yourself in the Scriptures daily, you will find that they do more than inform your mind. They transform your soul. Build your life on the rock of Scripture, and when the rains fall and the winds blow, you will remain standing. Let us end in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word, living, active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Forgive us when we neglect it or treat it lightly. Give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, and wills to obey. May your word dwell richly in us, shaping our thoughts, guiding our steps, and conforming us to the image of Christ. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
We hope you have enjoyed this Wednesday evening sermon from Redeemed in Faith Reformed Church. We pray that God's Word has spoken to your heart and drawn you closer to Christ. To learn more about our ministry, search for us on Facebook, on X, on YouTube, or visit our blog at calvaryherald.org or our website, redeemedinfaith.org. Explore more of our messages to help you walk faithfully with the Lord. Until we meet again, may His grace, mercy, and peace be with you.